We always imagine, we always understand that there are two things in the world. There's Ra and there's Tov. There's bad and there's good. There's good and there's bad. How surprising it is then to find a pasuk like this in Parshas Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at Adam, Vayara Lekim is Kol Asher Asa, after he created Adam, Behine Tov Ma'od. He was very good. Zakt Chazal, what does that mean? Could have just said good. What's very good? Tov Zu Yetzer Tov. That's the Yetzer Tov. Ma'od, what makes it Tov Ma'od? Zu Yetzer Hara. That's what Chazal say. This is not a Medrash Ne'alam or something. This is a Medrash Rabbah. Open up Medrash Rabbah, there it is. Ma'od, says Ma'od, Malach HaMov, all kinds of bad things. Funny thing. Stam Tov, that's Yetzer Tov. Tov Ma'od, like the greatest Tov, that's Yetzer Hara. Sounds a little confused. According to what we're saying, it's not confused at all. If there would be no Yetzer Hara, we would have Tov. But when the Tov comes out of a fight with the Yetzer Hara, when there's a Yetzer Hara, and then we're boicher v'Tov, that's Tov Ma'od. The Yetzer Hara allows for a capacity of an even greater Tov. Not just Tov, but Tov Ma'od. The Spitz, the highest level of this bringing out good from the bad, that the light should shine from the darkness, is the incredible chiddush, the incredible chesed, the incredible godless that exists, that we're about to experience, called tshuva. We're all familiar with the chazal that very few people understand, that says that if a person does a proper tshuva, zdoinais nasik is chuyos. His averis becomes chuyos, his averis become like mitzvahs. It's very, very hard to understand. Averis become like mitzvahs. It's a shtickl struggle to understand what that means. So let's try to go through a little bit what tshuva is, what happens by tshuva, and then we'll see that in light of what we're talking about, it just gives us an unbelievable appreciation for what going into Yom Kippur will come with an unbelievable appreciation for tshuva. A person does a chait, and it affects him. A person does an aveira, and it affects him. And he does tshuva, and that takes the chait away. How does that work? What's the mechanics? What's going on? So we know how to do it, as he was a chait and charata, we know all the things, but what is going on in that person's neshama that's allowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just erase what happened? It happened. What's going on? So we can understand it by being ma'ayin again, Eli, by being ma'ayin in the Nusach HaTfilah. We say every day, we tell the Rabbanu Shlom, V'tzadkenu b'mishpat, make us innocent in judgment. Now how do you make someone innocent in judgment? They're either innocent or they're not innocent. I think if I could pass a couple of bucks to the judge, then I could say, make me innocent in judgment. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'yikach sheicha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't take bribery. How do we tell Hashem, just say that we're good. Tzadkenu b'mishpat. Say that we're good. What does that mean? We say it every single day, three times a day. What does that mean? If it's a mishpat, how do you say it's tzadkenu? If it's a mishpat, then you wait and you see what the mishpat is. It's not like if you get a good lawyer, then it will work out better. It's the Rabbanu Shalom over here. If we say it's tzadkenu b'mishpat, it sounds a little bit fishy. Well, what are we saying? Another question on the Nesach HaTfilah. We're going to come to Kol Nidrei tomorrow evening, and we're going to say a pasuk. Right at the end of Kol Nidrei, the Chaz is going to call out, and we're going to say, "Benislach l'chol adas Yisrael v'lager agor b'seichem ki l'chol ha'om b'shgaga." The whole nation is a shogeg, and it's pasuk. It's talking about when the whole nation is a shogeg. You look it up. It's a little funny. I'm saying we're talking about before Yom Kippur. The whole, unfortunately, I guess I could speak for myself. The whole nation is not a shogeg. Shogeg means it was all a mistake. Unfortunately, I think the world is full of a lot of mazes. How do we get up before Yom Kippur? Like, what are we trying to say? Ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga. Are we lying? It wasn't b'shgaga. What are we saying? Stop it. We just... Okay, well, speaking of MS, we'll just change the MS. We'll say it was all a mistake. It was amazing. What do you mean ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga? We did a lot of things on purpose. What's ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga? What does that mean? The Indian is a very, very, very important yusayit. And that is that the neshama of a person is much, much bigger. We have to grow out of the childish tfisa that we got when we were little, that we have a body, a living body, and there's this little white glowing thing inside of us called the neshama. You know, we have to grow out of that a little bit. A neshama is a very, very big thing, very, very big ruchnis. And the neshama is so high that at some point, in its highest levels, it's much bigger than we are, the neshama. And Avraham Chaim says that it's like a chain that goes up to the Kisei HaKavod. Neshama is huge. And if looking at our neshamas, we're all giants. We're all giants. Our neshama is massive. And the highest levels of our neshama, I'm talking about in terms of size, obviously you're talking about ruchnis, it's not, but just to give some kind of idea. The highest levels of our neshama are attached to the Rabbanu Shlomo. Our neshama is part of Hashem. Chelek alekam imal. Neshama shenasathabi, blown in from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So at the highest points of our neshama is mamash such kedusha that we can't even fathom. The lower parts of our neshama, that's the parts that we're familiar with. But at some level, there's so much kedusha inside of us, in that neshama, that it's beyond comprehension. Now, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no ra. There's no ra by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no bad. There's no evil by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Evil is something that he allowed to exist in this world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kulei toiv, completely toiv. There's nothing bad by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Completely toiv. The part of our neshama that's closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, I'm talking ke'ilu geographically, but I mean in Madregas and in Ruchnias, the part of our neshama that's closest to Hashem also has no capacity for evil at all. No capacity for evil. And this is, if you ever heard people talking about the Pintalayid and so on and so forth, all these types of terms, it's talking about that part of the neshama. There's a part, say in plain English, there's a part of the neshama of a yid that does not know how to do an avera and does not have a desire for an avera. Has no shaykhus to averas at all. Every single one of us, every person that has a Jewish heart beating inside of him, has that part of his neshama. It says, the Nefesh HaChaim says, Ad Kedei Kach, he says, the neshama of a person, when Adam Rishon was created, used to be able to be completely contained inside of him. And when he did the chait, when Adam Rishon did the chait, part of his neshama, that high part of his neshama, went out from him. It hovered above him, he says. I don't know what any of this means. But you just see that there was part of Adam's neshama that couldn't be soil the idea of the chait. It left. It's his neshama. It left. Now, you ever heard, I'm sure, Zevi, I'm sure, is familiar with this. You ever heard the people ask, when you say me, who do you mean? I mean, you mean your heart? You point to yourself, you mean your heart? Do I mean my tie? Like, what do I mean when I say me? I point to myself. Who's me? Is my body me? Is my neshama me? Is my brain me? What's me? Okay, so I'm not going to get into that philosophical discussion right now. But if we have a very, very, very big neshama, and part of our neshama does know what it means to do an avera, and part of us doesn't know what it means to do an avera, so which part of us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge? So it depends which part we identify with. And that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is when a person digs very, very deeply inside of himself and works very, very hard on himself to reveal, to uncover inside of himself, part of himself that has no desire for this avera at all. I don't mean that it doesn't understand desire for avera, but I mean that it didn't want to be away from the Rabbanu Shalom. Wanted to just be close to Hashem. We all have that. I just wanted to stay close to you. I don't know how this happened. Anytime a yid does an avera, there's a part of him that's being forced. There's a lot of things coming into play when a person does an avera. A lot of struggles coming into play. There's a part of a person that's forced. You ever went somewhere that you didn't want to go, so you were forcing part of yourself to go with you. Part of you didn't want to go, but you had to go, so you forced yourself to go. A person says, I forced myself to do something. If you did it, obviously it wasn't forcing. No, because a part of me didn't want to do it. When you didn't do an avera, part of us does not want to do it. There's a certain, there has been a high part of our neshama that's not interested in this. Just wants to be close to Hashem. That's devastated by the avera. Part of us doesn't. Tshuva means that we connect to that part of ourselves. But we tell the Rosh Hashanah, I'm very sorry, I have charata. I regret that I did that. But you did it. What do you mean charata? What's going on is that you're connecting with a part of yourself that doesn't want to do the avera. That's what's happening in tshuva. I'm connecting to a part of myself that realizes that the most beautiful thing is to be close to Hashem. That's tshuva. Now we understand it comes Yom Kippur time, and everyone's trying to do tshuva. We come to shul together to do tshuva. We're all shaygigim. We all didn't really mean it. talking from the vantage point of the depths of our heart that just wants to serve Hashem. Mimamakim kerosicha Hashem. From the depths of my heart that's not distracted by yetzaharas and peer pressure and taivas and distractions and all kinds of things that affect us over the years. The part of me that's untouched. The part of me that wasn't affected. That part of me didn't want to do the Aveira. That was just schlepped along. I didn't want to do it. Ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga, we call it. We're all shaygigim. What do you mean you're shaggy? You're amazed. No, I'm not amazed, because now I'm connecting, I'm identifying with a part of myself that didn't really want to go, didn't really want to do it, was really resisting, didn't really want to do it, and that part of me is a shaggy. That part of me is b'li kavana. And that's what we mean when we say v'tzad kenu b'mishpat. Make us right in judgment. How do you make me right in judgment? Either you're right or you're wrong. It depends which part of me you look at. When we say three times a day v'tzad kenu b'mishpat, what we're saying is, Rabbi Nishlanam, please look deeper. Don't look at the surface level that I'm confused and I end up doing the wrong thing. Look deeper. There's a deeper part of me that just wants to serve you. Judge me based on that. That's what we're saying with Tzadkeinu B'Mishpat. Look at the ma'amakim of my heart. Look at the hidden parts of my heart. Look at the part of me that was unhappy at the time that I did the Aveira. Now let's understand what's going on over here. Let's say a person has incredible physical strength. Incredible physical strength. But he's never asked to pick up anything heavy. So that means that he'll go through his life with incredible strength, but he'll never use that strength. He just never uses it. There are koiches inside of him. It means there's power inside of him. There's strength inside of him that's never being used. Because he was never asked to lift up anything heavy. If you ask him to lift up something heavy, even though it may not be easy for him to do, but in a certain sense, he's now revealing, he's now bringing to the surface kaiches that he would have never brought to the surface if you hadn't asked him to do that difficult thing. If a yid never does an aveira, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to that, if a yid, all of us think that the other ones don't have yetzahara, you know, we all think that the next guy doesn't have yetzahara. If a person is born, he doesn't have such a difficult yetzahara. It's not too hard for him not to do averus. It's not too hard for him to do all the mitzvahs. Life is easy for him. And he doesn't do averus, and it comes to Yom Kippur, and he doesn't have to do shuvah. So is that person in better shape than us? I guess on a surface level, he's in better shape than us. But is that person revealing the depth of his neshama, like when we do shuvah and we say, Kelechalom b'shgaga? Is somebody who doesn't have to say, Rabbi Nishan, look deeper. There's a deep part of me that never wanted to do the chet. There's a depth to my neshama. There's a part of me that wasn't masking. Is he digging out that part of his neshama? No, that part of his neshama is sleeping. He doesn't need to. Life is easy for him. Someone who's nichshal in a chet, someone who doesn't have aveira, someone who falls, and he has to say, I know I fell, but I didn't really want to fall. There's a part of me that just wants to be close to you. There's a part of me that just wants to be near you. That tells the Rabbi Shalom that we're bringing to the surface deeper feelings. Someone who has a very, very close friend, just to say a better mashal, someone who has a very, very close friend, and everything always goes well, the two friends are always just good to each other. Shalom al Yisrael. So that's very nice friendship. But what happens when one of them does something very hurtful to the other one? One friend does something very hurtful to the other friend. Then what happens? And the other friend works very, very hard, and decides to be Maicha. So I can hear so clearly, I can hear somebody saying, you know, until you did that to me, I didn't realize how deeply I loved you. Because you never did anything, I never had a challenge. There was never a challenge to our relationship. I never had to bring out those hidden kaychas of how deep my relationship is with you. It was easy. You were good to me, I was good to you. But then when you hurt my feelings, I had to ask myself, how much do I really care about you? And I had to look very deep. I had to look deeper than you hurt me. I had to look deeper than the hurt. I had to look at my heart of hearts. And I had to find that even in my heart of hearts, even in the depths of my soul, I still care about you. And therefore I could be Maicha you. That's what an Adam does when he does tshuva. That's what a person does. He tells the Rabbi Shalom, I know I did the Aveira, but if I look in my heart of hearts, if I look deeper. Now, the person who does that with his friend, is the friendship going to be the same after that? No, it's a new dimension to the friendship. The much deeper feelings were expressed. much deeper kesher was established. It was after a hard time, and then a relationship is established, it's a much stronger relationship. What comes out is that tshuva allows us to get in touch with and to reveal koiches, power, dedication, hislavos, caring about avodas Hashem that we would have never revealed if we hadn't done an aveira and didn't have to stand in front of Hashem and saying, "I messed up, I'm so sorry." There's a certain dedication to Hashem that comes out of saying, "I messed up, I'm sorry," that doesn't come out when everything is going fine. It's just that it's more surface, it's not so deep. And Zelo Umazeo, so Elikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mirror image of us. Just like we pull out deeper koichas when we do tshuva than we would have ever pulled out if there hasn't been an avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megala, a greater kavod in accepting our tshuva than if we had never done the avera. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to me and I don't do an avera. That's a tremendous mile of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's good to a human being. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts my tshuva after I rebelled about him, that's an even what kind of incredible Rabbeinu Shlalem do we have? Such an incredible kavod shamayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be mevater and chas v'shalom, we don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a vatrin, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after being mekabel our mechila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to be meichel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to continue to do kindness with us, to continue to sustain us, to continue to love us, to continue to care about us, even though we did an avera. Through our avera and through doing tshuva, we revealed madregas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we would have never revealed. This is what Chazal says, Dainas Nasik is Chuyas. When a person does tshuva properly, the Aveira itself is a cause for such incredible Chuyas, such incredible appreciation of the Rabbeinu Shalom, such Avas Hashem that without that Aveira would have never reached. Now, Avada, someone who says Echta V'Ashuv, Ein Maspikim B'Yodei La'aseh Tshuva. Someone who says, okay, great, I'll go do an Aveira, Ein Maspikim B'Yodei La'aseh Tshuva, because that means that he's never really challenged by the Avera. He's never really sitting under the weight of the Avera. It's all part of his plan. He doesn't have the mile that comes out of it. But someone who Nebuch is caught in the trap of an Avera, and everybody over a year is caught in the traps of Averas, he has the opportunity to take that Avera and make it into a Kavod Shamayim. Make it into his Chus. Why? Because he's going to take that Avera to reveal a deeper dedication to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and he's going to take that Avera to recognize greater milas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, which then in turn, it's an unbelievable cycle, which then in turn is ma'or in him even more love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A tremendous ava develops from that. You have to realize a tremendous ava develops. You borrow somebody's car and you smash it up. And you walk, and I'm telling you this 100%, you walk over to the person and you say, "I smashed up your car," and the person stops for a minute. It's not easy for him, it's hard. And he says, "We'll work it out, don't worry, we're still friends." You're going to feel like giving that person a hug. You feel tremendous ava to that person. Well, you just had an uncomfortable conversation. Because to see the person, despite the fact that I just smashed up your car, it's not lepaga v'leinoga, it doesn't stop you from caring about me. That brings such ava into me, such caring, such appreciation for a relationship. Even though I smashed up the car, it doesn't affect our relationship? Wow. And that's what we tell them, we did much worse than smashing up the car. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a life and we messed it up. We did wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I still care about you. You're coming, you're doing tshuva, I still care about you." Tremendous avas Hashem. This dainais nasik is chuyas. And this is the or mitaychach, this is the retaina. This is ba'olma divarach erusei. This is the kavod shamayim that comes out of a world that the malachim say, what, it's full of darkness, that world. It's full of darkness. It's full of darkness, but then you didn't come and do tshuva. And a greater light, a greater kavod comes out that could have ever come about in shamayim. If there's no cause for darkness, if there's no falling, if there's no failing, if there's no doing tshuva, then there's no revealing the depths of our Avodas Hashem, and there's no revealing the depths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. Rashi says in Chumash that the word kale is the chesed of the Rabbeinu Shalom, talking about Hashem's chesed. Kale means power, but it's a power that relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. Talmud Devarim, when he's going through the Yud Gimel Midas, he explains this midah, that the midah of Kael is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he goes through the Talmud Devarim, how a person could be a reflection, a Tzelem Elokim and Emes. Talmud Devarim could be called Sefer HaEmes, is how to be a Tzelem Elokim, how to go on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas. So he says the midah of Kael is that the Rabbanu Shalom is amazing. I'm not alive now because I was alive a minute ago. Right, every moment of life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is breathing life into me. Now let's say right now I'm doing an Aveir. Right now, I'm doing the Aveir, which Hashem doesn't want. And at that time, He's breathing life into me. It's amazing. At the time that I'm doing an Aveir, not only is Hashem not being ma'anish me for the Aveir, but He's actually allowing me to exist. He savel me when I do an Aveir. That's Savlanus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Midah of Kael. What's the Pshat in that Savlanus? The Pshat is that without that, there's no Bechira. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if anytime someone thinks about doing an Aveir, they would vanish. Nobody would do Aveiras. There would be no Bechira. So the Midah of Kael is really the Midah that through that Midah there exists Bechira in the world. Bechira is the introduction to this whole chabur that I'm giving. The fact that there's bechira, that's the kasha of the malachim. Why are you creating a world of bechira? Why are you creating a capacity for ra? Bechira is a capacity for ra. That's what bechira is. And kael is the creation of bechira. So, and tshuva is the culmination of that greatness. That even when something actually went wrong, I'm able to be magal v'tov. Kael. Rabbeinu Shlalem, who created Bechira, because your ratzon is that goodness should come from the darkness. You taught us to say Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim. That's why we use that word, Kael. Kael, which is Rabbeinu Shlalem, that you let me exist even when I make mistakes. Why do you let me exist when I make mistakes? Because you want me to have a choice of good and bad. Why do you want me to have a choice of good and bad? Because you want the good to come out of a potential darkness. Oh, you're the one that taught me the Yud Gimel Midas Harachamim, that even after I do an Aveir, I can bring light out of the darkness. I can create a bigger Kiddush Hashem from it. Kael, Hayreis Elanu, Loima Shleish Esrei, Zechar Elanu Hayoyim Bris Shleish Esrei. We learned in Bava Kama, the beginning of Bava Kama, we learned that Adam is called Mavet. And Adam is called a Mava. That's the name of Adam Amazik. Adam is called Mava. What's Mava? What does the word Mava mean? It comes from like Tiskabot Tzloysein Uva'usein. In Kaddish, it's a Lashon of Tefillah, of davening, prayer. In Tiv'oyun Ba'oyun, the Gemara says, Amar Shomer Asa Boker V'gam Laila, in Tiv'oyun Ba'oyun. Tefillah, davening. So you see, Adam is described, not described as an Oichel. Adam eats. He's not described as an eater. He's not described that way. He's described, the description of Adam, that he's a davener. That's the description of Adam. The ability to daven comes from his koyach hadibur, comes from his ability to speak. The ability to speak comes from the greatness of his neshama. As the Targum says, it says, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into Adam a neshama, and the Targum says, L'ruach memalolo. A speaking spirit. The ability to speak. An animal can't speak because it doesn't have a neshama. It has some type of a nefesh chiyunah, some type of a spirit that keeps it alive, but not a neshama. And Adam has a neshama, and that's what gives him the ability to speak. And therefore, the ability to communicate the highest ideal, the highest maila in the world, the ability to stand in front of the Melech Malchei Amlachim, the King of Kings, and to actually communicate with him. Now, we're only able to daven 3 times a day. There's no such a thing as davening 4 times a day, 5 times a day, 6 times a day. There's no such a thing. Because the Kedusha of our Neshama only has the capacity to communicate with the Rabbeinu Shlalem 3 times a day. It's a tremendous madrega to daven. Hopefully, we should realize it when we daven. It's a tremendous madrega to daven. You can only do it 3 times a day. Comes Rosh Chodesh, comes Yontif, comes Shabbos. You have a Neshama Yisera. And when Neshama got holier, our Neshama got bigger. Right? Neshama Yisera. And when Neshama gets bigger, our Koyach HaDibur gets bigger. Right? Neshama's Ruach HaMala. Where do you see the Koyach HaDibur of a person get bigger on Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos and Yantif? It's an extra Shemayin Esrei. Idam is Musaf. Musaf is Lashon of Haisafa. More Kedusha. Idam is Musaf. His Koyach Adibur was expanded. Idam is more. Yom Kippur, and Adam Davins, Yid Davins, five Shemayin Esreis. What does that tell us? That tells us that on Yom Kippur, the Koyach Adibur got even bigger. The ability to communicate with Hashem is even stronger on Yom Kippur. But why? I already have an Neshama Yisayir from Yantif that allows me to daven a fourth tefillah. Where do I get this ability to daven a fifth tefillah? Because there's that hidden part of my Neshama. There's that part of my Neshama that's so high that doesn't understand how to do an Aveira. And that becomes part of me on Yom Kippur. That's what we said, that's where Tshuva comes from. I'm able to connect with the highest spheres of my Neshama on Yom Kippur. Unbelievable thing. And that's an incredible thing, an incredible chizuk, that we have the ability on Yom Kippur, through everything that we've been through everything that we've stumbled across over the year or over the years, we have the ability on Yom Kippur to open up, to do a little surgery, to open up and to penetrate deeper than any other day of the year. And we have the ability to connect with the more halig, with the more special, with a more devoted, with a more focused part of ourselves than we're able to the rest of the year. We're saying five Shemayin Esreis. Our Koyach Adibur is so big, which means our Neshama is so big. We have the ability to reveal such high madrigas in ourselves on Yom Kippur, if we focus on the davening properly, that we can't necessarily connect to those types of madrigas the rest of the year. It's a one day a year thing. It doesn't stick after Yom Kippur. My Rosh Hashiva said something. It gave me such a chizuk. He said, on Yom Kippur you'll reveal parts of yourself that are so special, and the rest of the year you'll have chizuk from knowing that there's such a part of yourself. It's true, and everyone worries about this. Yom Kippur is over, and it's hard to maintain the madrega of Yom Kippur. I don't even know if it's something to try. Yom Kippur is a special day. We go back to our regular life, and we're often disappointed to find our regular nisyonos, to our regular struggles. But it's different after this Yom Kippur, because after this Yom Kippur, we're going to go back to our regular life, realizing that even though on every day of the year I can't connect so deeply with my neshama, I can't connect so strong with my neshama, but look what I have inside me. Look what I have. Look what a connection to Hashem I have. If I'm able to shed a tear on Yom Kippur, if I'm able to feel an honest feeling on Yom Kippur, if I'm able to feel some type of connection to whatever level it is on Yom Kippur, that means there's something, a pumping, living, feeling neshama inside of me. And even if I can't access that the rest of the year, but I have to know that in here somewhere, there's something very special, something very unique, something very powerful. There's a tremendous strength that could be tapped. I have to say a warning, even though it's not so much me'inyan this chabura, but it's a very, 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 very important thing. People make Kabbalahs for Yom Kippur, and people do tshuva on Yom Kippur, and people get carried away. And the mistakes that people make are devastating, devastating mistakes. Because if a person has a picture in his mind of what he thinks he should be or where he thinks he should be holding, and it's a much higher picture than is accurate, then his ability to maintain any of it after Yom Kippur is very questionable. All of this that I'm talking about looking deep inside myself and finding that I want to be close to Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shloim created me the way He created me. Evarim shapilagta banu, v'ruachu neshama shenafachta be'apeinu. The Rabbeinu Shloim gave me these kaiches. And it's with this life that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave me that I have to serve Him. With these problems, with these nisyonos, with these difficulties. If I would have been born, you know, if I would have been born in in Slobodka 150 years ago, or if I would have been born a few hundred years ago and learned in the yeshiva of the Beis Yosef, or if I would have been born, you know, and been the Arizal's next door neighbor, things would be different. But I wasn't born then. I was born in America. I was born now, a difficult, confusing, dangerous time. What we have to work on from now until Yom Kippur is to, with brutal honesty, not to be too machmer and not to be too mekel, to find a picture for ourselves in our mind that's honest of where we belong this Yom Kippur. What's the right thing for us to ask from ourselves this Yom Kippur? Hopefully next Yom Kippur we'll be able to ask more from ourselves. But that's not the issue right now. Right now for this Yom Kippur, I have to find what my koichos are now. What my struggles are now, what the reality is. People who think that Yom Kippur is like stam, like divorced from reality, they have no idea what how to use Yom Kippur properly. Yom Kippur is to take the reality that is, take the life we live in, the mundane life, the difficult life, the struggles in life, and let the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in. The Kotzker Rebbe says, you know, the famous line, where is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Wherever you let him in. The idea on Yom Kippur is to take us and to stand in front of Hashem. Not to take some kind of fake picture of myself and stand in front of Hashem. Not to take some kind of a fantasy about myself and stand in front of Hashem. It's to take me with everything I've been through, with the milas and the chesronis. It's very important to know the milas. Not, we don't walk in with chesronis. We all have tremendous, tremendous milas, and we all have chesronis. To stand in front of Hashem and to make kambalas and commitments to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam on a very, very deep level, but not crossing the border to fantasy. All that the Sfarim talk about and all the Madregas of Yom Kippur and all the Aliyah that's possible in Yom Kippur is when we're rooted in reality, not when we take flights of fancy. That's the types of Yom Kippur that we don't remember a day later. Because it wasn't us that we were davening for. When I look at myself like some kind of reincarnation of the Vilna Gaon and I daven, I'm not davening for myself. We have to daven with who we are, with our struggles, with our life, and to be megala, the strong desire to be that one step closer to Hashem, to bring Hashem into our life. The dread, the dread, the nervousness, the tension, all of that is no place on Yom Kippur. No place on Yom Kippur. Anybody who's been married a few years will tell you that if you have a couple that has no nisyonis, everything is beautiful for them, everything works out fine, that they could have a very wonderful marriage. If you have a couple that's been through something together, any difficult time cements a relationship. When they go through a difficult time together, it cements a relationship. That's the way it works. And it's true in any relationship. Yom Kippur is that time to draw even closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's to draw even closer. It's to find even the deeper feelings of closeness to Hashem. It's to bring the Rabbeinu Shel Olam inside of us. I felt one time, I think I mentioned it last year also, I felt 2 years ago by Ne'ilah, I was thinking, and I think this is an emissive thing. Olam Hazeh, Gashmius, is always referred to by the number 7 days in creation. And the seven, the Medrash says the 7 names to the Yetzer Hara. What does he have 7 names for? I mean, the 7 aspects, how he deals with them, his tricks. Tries this trick, if we figure out that trick, he tries a different trick. He's always coming with different, like a snake. 7 names to the Yetzer Hara. All Gashmiistic of things, our Gashmiistic of life, the mashal is the number 7. And the end of Ne'ilah, we cry out with all our koichos, Hashem hu ha'elokim, 7 times. And Libi Omerli, I didn't see it anywhere, but Libi Omerli, besides, I know we say that we're escorting the Shekhinah back up, the 7 Rakiyim, but Libi Omerli, that the part of the idea of saying Hashem hu ha'elokim 7 times is to take all 7 aspects of our life, our Gansu, Gashmiistic of life, and to declare there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hashem hu ha'elokim. To every one of the Yetzer Hara's names, we have a response, Hashem hu ha'elokim. There's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But it's real. It's me who I, with my reality, who I know I am, drawing close to a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That's kind of